He's always there with you when you're walking through fire. Every life will have its share of trouble, but oh, that's when you find him so close. And if you fall, he will carry you, 'cause every time you need him the most, he's the shout that calls the dead to life again. He's the bread that multiplies to meet your need. He's the midnight calm in the lion's den, and the shepherd who goes searching for the sheep. He's the hand that reaches out to rescue you when the waves are growing higher. And he's the fourth man who's always there beside you when you're walking through fire. He's the victory cry that causes walls to fall. He's the song that rises from a prison cell. He's the love and the grace that would bear your cross, and the story of redemption that you tell. Every time you
Well, good morning, church. How are you today? I hope you're doing really, really well. Thank you for tuning in this morning. Welcome to our service here at Lena Vista Baptist Church in beautiful Auburndale, Florida. As always, it is my prayer that today you will have a genuine worship service. We're learning now that it doesn't require a church pew. You can have a genuine worship service in your boat, while you're driving down the highway, in your living room. We can always praise and worship our God, who certainly deserves that praise and that worship. I pray that today will be an absolutely life-changing experience for you wherever you are. Thank you so much for listening and joining in with us this morning. If you have a Bible with you, I'll just give you a little heads up already. We're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and parts of chapter 7. So you may be turning there while we finish out our music worship. Would you join me as we pray? Father, I want to thank you so much for today. Thank you for the privilege that's ours to gather together, Lord, in different houses, different places. Lord, I just pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to your word, whether it's being sung, whether it's being prayed or fellowship, Lord. Thank you so much for loving us like you do, for being an awesome God who is with us always through the fire. And Lord, it is our desire. Give me Jesus. Give us Jesus today and tomorrow and every day. May we serve you with joy, with enthusiasm, and with happiness, Father. May your will be done here today for your glory, Father, and for our growth always. We love you. We thank you for all you are and for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good morning, Lena Vista Baptist Church. We are so glad that you're here this morning with us. Let's continue our worship service by singing "The Old Rugged Cross."
I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Singing this morning, let's sing at the cross.
Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. There by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin.
Sing out now at home.
At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Thus might I hide my blushing face while Calvary's cross appears, dissolve my heart in thankfulness, and melt mine eyes to tears. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. The trials of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Thank you very much, Brother Mark. I appreciate that. Enjoyed the time singing together this morning. By way of announcements, I want to let you know that our services are being streamed on our website. That is Lena Vista Baptist Church, FL.org, and it's also on Facebook. And so if you are on there, thank you so much. Tell your friends, family, that they can pull these up as well. Our service times are always at 10:45 on Sunday morning, 6 p.m. on Sunday night. We're also having a Wednesday night service at 6 o'clock as well. And this will continue this way through the end of the month or until we get further notice. Our food ministry remains open on each Tuesday. That is from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. should you need to pick up a box of food. Our Wednesday night meal and our Wednesday night choir practice have been suspended until further notice. I am teaching a book by Kyle Idleman on Sunday nights called Follower. It's a being more than just a fan of Jesus, but being a real follower of Jesus. So we would encourage you to tune in on Sunday night as well. We appreciate you listening. Thank you so very much, and God bless all of you. Brother Mark.
Thank you, Brother Kenny. And before Brother Kenny comes and preaches the message, let's sing Everlasting God.
Brother Mark, thank you so much. I reckon we're live here. Yep, okay. Appreciate y'all joining in this morning. If you've got your Bible handy there, I'm going to ask you to turn over to chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles. This is a very, very familiar verse to many of you. I don't know that there's any better time to share this with you than it is this morning. This is going to be 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Would you pray with me again? Lord, thank you so much for the privilege that's ours today. Lord, to join together wherever we are, Father, for a time of worship. I pray, Lord, the blessing upon the reading and the preaching of your word. Open our ears and our minds and our hearts, Lord, to your word. Father, I pray that you would speak to me this morning, that you would speak through me this morning as well. I pray that it's not just my voice, Lord, that will be heard, but it would be your voice through the Holy Spirit making the Word of God very, very real. Sometimes we realize that you comfort us. Sometimes you confirm us. And other times, Lord, you convict us through the work of the Holy Spirit. Father, whatever we need this morning, I am keenly aware that you know exactly what that is. So I'm asking you, Lord, to do that in each of our lives as we spend our time worshiping and thanking you for the great God that you are. And we just appreciate this privilege and this opportunity. God bless each and every one listening today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This being a very familiar passage of Scripture, I was thinking as I was preparing this message, I wonder what the context is. I wonder what brought that up. What would cause the Lord to say that exactly to this group of people? And I went back and took a good closer look, and I was very much pleased and very encouraged by what I heard. Our God works through people. We know that. He speaks through lots of folks by music. He even allows us to speak through our fellowship time when we're able to do that. He speaks through his word. But at this particular time, the scripture context is very clear when you read chapter 6. It's the dedication of the temple that had finally been built. It was going to be a very great day for King Solomon, for many of the people of Israel. A large crowd had gathered. The verse 12 of chapter 6 says that all the congregation was there in the presence of the Lord and stood. Verse 12 says, and he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel. And it says he spread forth his hands. He was standing on a specially prepared scaffold, and the Bible said that he raised his hands as he got ready to speak. And we've seen that before in public gatherings there, where someone would maybe raise their hand or both of their hands in order to calm the people down and quiet the conversation so that he could speak. And then Solomon does something very, very special. I want you to realize that this is a public prayer, and it's done in a public place. And it's very, very important. Solomon being the king, he kneels down on his knees. And the indication from the scripture is that he continued to spread forth his hands and he began to pray. And that's the heart of the message this morning, as I want to rehearse, in your ears, the message, the prayer that Solomon prayed. And it's an absolutely stunningly beautiful prayer. You get a picture into the heart of King Solomon at this particular time. The prayer began with a recognition and a praise for the only true God who really shows mercy and keeps covenant with those who are upright before him. And rather than trying to explain it away at every phase, I want to go ahead and read most of this prayer to you. As I recall, Solomon said had made the scaffold there. He kneeled down upon his knees and he began to speak these words. Look at verse 14 in chapter 6, and I'm just going to read through the majority of this prayer, and then we'll go back and look at it for just a little bit. And said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven, nor in the earth, which keepest covenant, and showest mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Thou which hast kept with thy servant David, my father, that which thou hast promised him, and spakest with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand as it is this day. Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that which thou hast promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit upon the throne of Israel, yet so that thy children take heed to their way, to walk in my law as thou hast walked before me. Now then, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified, which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house which I have built. Have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee, that thine eyes may be open upon this house day and night, upon the place whereof thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth toward this place. Hearken therefore unto the supplications of thy servant and of thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven, and when thou hearest, forgive. And I want to stop right there for just a minute. Solomon's prayer begins with praise and worship. He recognizes and praises whom he says is the only real true God, a God that keeps mercy and covenant with those who walk upright before him, and I believe that with all my heart. God is recognized as the God who keeps his word and his promises. He recognizes God first for all that he is and all that he has done, all that he is currently doing, and will continue to go on and say even those things which God would do in his future. So he recognizes the greatness of God and praises and worships him early on, first thing in his prayer. Then that's going to be followed by petition, those things that Solomon would ask of God at that particular time. So then Solomon asked God basically to honor his promise that he had made to his father David, that there would always be a man of that family up on the throne, and also that his family would walk in his law as David before them had walked. Solomon prayed that God's word would be verified that he had spoken to David. And what I was so impressed with as I began to look at this prayer more closely, Solomon did not pray that much for himself in this prayer. He prayed that God would show himself to be what he knew him to be, that God would continue to honor the word that he had put forth himself, that God would bless and care for the folks that Solomon was king over. In other words, it was not a selfish prayer on his part. It was a part to take care of the people of God that he had the privilege to lead. And it was clear that Solomon wanted Israel not only to know those words, but to experience their fulfillment. Solomon wanted Israel to understand the word of God, to pay close attention to the things that he had said, to honor the things that had been required of them as his people. And then Solomon asked a very, very important question. He said, would God dwell with men on the earth? They just built this magnificent temple. And if you want to read more about how great that temple was and all the things that took place there, just read the Second Chronicles up through chapter 7 and all the gold and all of the things that were special that were made there and all the woodworking and everything. It was in today's economy, it would have been millions and millions and millions of dollars to take to build this temple. But Solomon was very much aware, although he would be associated with that temple and the temple would be associated with the presence of God, Solomon was keenly aware that the temple could not contain the greatness of God. So he made that a point, and he asked him the question, would God dwell with men on the earth? You know, God did not need this temple for himself, but the people would need that temple kind of as a physical reminder of God being with them. It was the place where they went to meet God. In some ways, it's like our church today, the building that we're able to worship in. We come here on the assigned days of service. My prayer, and hopefully your prayer as well when we get to do this again, that as we walk through those doors and we enter this space that was built and prepared for our worship of God, that we would look forward to meeting with God. That's what Israel did. They went there to meet with God, to offer sacrifice, to offer praise and glory and worship to a one-of-a-kind God. And that's the kind of God that you and I have the same privilege to serve today. He's an everlasting God, like the song said. He is our God. He is the God who pulls for us. He is the God who allowed his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, that we might receive him and be forever in his presence as we leave this earth. Would he actually come that close to his people? Would God really want to come that close to his people? I believe that he did, and he does. And he continues to do so. Some people today believe that because of so much sin and so much discord in the world that God is through with us as a people and that he's got no desire to be near us. And my friends, the testimony of the word of God is that couldn't be further from the truth. You see, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, we're told that the temple, that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And as we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And as believers, you know, you can't get much closer than that, somebody that dwells within you. That's the power that God has placed within us as we give our lives to the Lord Jesus, as the Holy Spirit empowers us to live out the life that God desires and has commanded for us to live out. So you can't get any closer. Solomon knew that he couldn't contain God in this magnificent temple, but he knew he could meet him there. He knew he could go there and he could praise the Lord. He could freely worship and glorify the God that he believed was everything to him. He gave all that credit for his power, for his placement as the king over Israel. He gave him glory. He gave him praise and worship. And that's the same thing that you and I have the privilege to do when we come to church. We can do that in our car, in our boat, at home. We can do that wherever we are. That makes this whole process that we are now going through very much meaningful. Just because you couldn't come here this morning and sit in these pews does not mean in any way that you could not have a real, genuine worship experience. Because you see, God is bigger than the church building, and he always will be. Solomon knew that. Solomon really wanted God to hear his prayer and to respond to his prayer as well. It was very important that God not only heard him, but that God responded. There are times, I guess, in our lives as Christians, that sometimes we feel like maybe our prayers don't make it past the ceiling. Because sometimes our circumstances don't change right away. Sometimes the difficult moments that brought about those prayers don't change necessarily. Sometimes they change immediately. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes God has a completely different plan. So Solomon wanted God to hear his prayer, and he said so. It was important to him that God not only heard it, but that he responded. He asked God to put his eyes upon the temple both day and night, that he would indeed hear the requests that both Solomon himself would make and that the people would make. So he's encouraging God to do what God does. And I find that very interesting. I believe that he knew down deep that God would be watching over this temple. He knew that he was supposed to build it. He did that along with lots of other people. It was a magnificent structure. He knew what the purpose of the temple was for. He knew that he could go there and meet God. But you know what? Although we know these things about God, I don't find out there's anything wrong with us rehearsing those things out loud. God, we thank you for being an awesome God, and you absolutely are. God, we thank you for hearing our prayers, and you absolutely do. God, we thank you for answering many of those prayers in the way in which we have prayed those, and he absolutely does from time to time. So although God, we know that God knows everything we're going to say, even before we say it, we're still instructed to say it. I believe that Solomon knelt down before these people with a genuine desire as their king to let them know that he was counting on God for a lot. And I believe that you and I should live the same way, my friends, that we would count on God, because he has promised us so many things in his word. There are over 7,000 promises in the word of God. And we're going to see some before this chapter ends that are conditional promises. It's an if-then process, and I'll get to that in just a minute. Solomon wanted God to put his name upon that place and to care for that place. Not only has he asked God to hear and to do, but right at the very last verse that I read, verse 21, he brings up a very important point. He said, God, not only do I want you to hear this, what we have to say here, not only do I want you to receive our praise, not only do I want you to put your name on this place and to keep your eyes open and pay close attention to what's happening here and protect us as we come here, but Lord, I would certainly want you to forgive us as well. You see, Solomon knew exactly the people that he was dealing with. He knew their successes. He knew their failures. He knew their disappointments. He understood where they were. And I love the honesty. The Word of God is so honest. When people pray, they pray what the Spirit of God has laid on their heart to pray. Notice a couple of things here. Solomon was not embarrassed to call it like it was. He just told it like it was. Lord, we need you way more than we even imagined. We need you to care for this place. We need you to care for us. We need you to keep your eyes and your ears up on this place when we come here to worship you as your people. We need to know that when we pray, you're going to hear us. We need to know that when we pray, you're going to answer us in whatever way your will sees fit. So Solomon is keenly aware that the people stand in need of forgiveness. He knows their failures. They've not followed God. He knows that they haven't praised and honored and served and lived for God in a way that they should. They stand in need of forgiveness. It's as simple as that. So Solomon has no issue asking God to forgive. You know, he owns their part in the circumstances that they find themselves in as a nation. I believe there's gold in understanding that same kind of thing. Dr. Phil is, I'm not a huge fan of him, but every now and then he says some stuff that's pretty cool. He says, you can't change what you don't acknowledge. There's gold in that statement, my friend. In order for this country, in order for Israel to change and be the people that they are, they would have to acknowledge that they were responsible for putting themselves in the circumstances and in the situations which they had experienced and would continue to experience if things did not change. That's the same for us. Any way you look at it, my friends, we are our own enemy from time to time. Many of the things that we have to suffer through are self-inflicted. And the sooner we own those things and call it like it is, the better off we're going to be. Now, the next several verses here, this is the if and then portion of his prayer. You know, the temple basically reflected the character of God, and Solomon's prayer was that the people would also reflect the character of God. And we as the temple of the Holy Spirit should do that same thing so that others, by watching us and listening to us, might come to know and to serve God and to worship him. So this prayer begins. It continues on with the if-then section in verse 22, and I want to read some more for you, beginning there. If a man sin against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou from heaven and do, and judge thy servants by requiting the wicked, by recompensing his way upon his own head, and by justifying the righteousness, by giving him according to his righteousness. And if thy people Israel be put to the worst before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name, and pray and make supplication before thee in this house, then hear from thou from heaven, from the heavens, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest to them and to their fathers. When the heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou doest afflict them, then hear from thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel when thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk, and send rain upon thy land, which thou hast given unto the people for an inheritance. If there be dearth in the land, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting or mildew, locust or caterpillar, if their enemies besiege them in the cities of their land. Oh, and listen to this phrase, my friends. Whatsoever sore or whatsoever sickness there be, then what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of any man or of all thy people Israel, when every one shall know his own sore and his own grief and shall spread forth his hands in this house, then hear thou from heaven, thy dwelling place, and forgive, and render unto every man according unto all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou only knowest the hearts, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men. Boy, is that powerful. In Solomon's prayer, he's saying, Lord, if this happens among your people, if these things take place among your people, then this is what I'm asking you for. If justice is required, then Lord, give justice. For those who have transgressed your ways, Lord, bring them back. Listen to their prayer. Restore them. When there's no rain because of their sin, when they confess and pray and turn from their sin, then Lord, forgive them. Teach them the way that you would want them to go. If Israel's enemies prevail, in the whole process because of Israel's sin, then Lord, forgive them and restore them. That's his prayer. Solomon's covering a multitude of issues here. He knows that these people, he knows these people and who they are, and he's one of them as well. But he also knows God, and he knows what God's willing to do for those who ask genuinely. Listen, my friends, confession of our sin is difficult. It's hard to do. It's hard to realize and recognize that we have fallen short in whatever area of our life our sin is in. We know that we are all sinners. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We realize that there's a great price for that sin. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So we're not left out in the cold here. Solomon is recognizing who these people are and who he is as an individual. He's recognizing that not only are they capable of sin in their life, that they have practiced it and they stand in need of forgiveness, but he also realizes on the flip side of that, that when he prays, God hears. If this happens over here, Lord, then we're going to call on you to hear us. We're going to call on you to do only what you can do as our God. We're going to call on you to know who we are and to help us get to the place where we need to be. And I love that kind of faith in Solomon. I love that honesty. I love that transparency. And long I had not known how 2 Corinthians 7:14, I did not know how that response from God got to the place where it was. And as I went back and read the prior chapters, I began to understand God is going to pay attention to the prayer of Solomon. God is going to hear his words. God is going to understand his heart and what his desire is. And God's going to respond to him. And it is absolutely profound. I love verses 28 through 30. Boy, it's powerful. I'll read it again for you. If there be dearth in the land, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting or mildew or locusts or caterpillars, if their enemies besiege them in the cities of their land, whatsoever sore or whatsoever sickness there be, boy, are we dealing with that, my goodness, then what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of any man or of all thy people Israel, when every one shall know his own sore and his own grief and shall spread forth his hand in this house, then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place and forgive and render unto every man according to all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men. Listen, individually and as churches and as a country, we're doing a lot of things that we're not familiar to do. We're separating ourselves when we'd much rather be together. And as our president would say, we're fighting an invisible enemy. This is the same kind of prayer maybe that we need to be praying as individual Christians and as churches and as individual citizens of the United States of America. We might need to be saying, Lord, if this happens, please hear us. Hear our hearts. And I love the honesty here. Lord, let every man know his own sore and his own grief. Let him spread forth his own hands and say unto you exactly how it is. Yes, Lord, I messed this up. Yes, Lord, I've made some poor choices in my life. Yes, Lord, the circumstances that I find myself in have indeed been self-inflicted. Now, we realize that we're dealing with a different kind of enemy, and we're learning every day as individuals, as churches, and as citizens of the United States of America. But I think Solomon's prayer is gold when it comes down to knowing what we need to be doing. Are we praying unto the great God, the only God, the true God? Are we praying to him? Are we calling it like it really is? Are we owning our part in the process? Are we calling on him to do something that none of us individually or corporately have the power to do? Are we letting him know that he is our God and that we trust him through everything, through all of this, whether we can understand it or not? My prayer is and has been since the day one of this process that we as believers don't miss a single thing that God has for us in this process. My friends, you can learn a whole lot in difficult times if you pay close attention to the hand of God. We need to be praying very specifically that God would show us and reveal to us that which he wants us to know and learn and then ultimately to share. Verse 31 says, that they may fear thee, to walk in thy ways so long as they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Moreover, concerning the stranger which is not of thy people Israel, but is come from a far country, for thy great name's sake and thy mighty hand and thy stretched out arm. Isn't that beautiful? If they come and pray in this house, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name and fear thee, as doth thy people Israel, and may know that this house which I have built is called by my name. If thy people go out to war against their enemies by the way that thou shalt send them, and they pray unto thee toward this city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives unto a land far off or near, yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly, if they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whither they have carried themselves, them captives, and pray toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name, then, hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. My friends, this is the prayer of a man whose heart is in line with what God would want. This is a prayer of a king who cares deeply about his people at this particular time in his reign. They're about to have a celebration second to none that I've ever heard about. They're about to do some amazing things. And the transparency of King Solomon is beautiful in this place. He's covering a multitude of issues here. He knows for real that the folks are going to need God. We need God today. 21st century America. We, my friends, need to know this word. We need to hear this word. And if those come our way which have never been exposed to this gospel, we need to share that gospel with passion and compassion and honesty and transparency. Have you noticed Solomon's passion in this prayer? Have you noticed his compassion for the people? Have you noticed his determination? You know, this is a public prayer, my friends, as I mentioned earlier. It's a public prayer spoken in a public place, and there's absolutely zero embarrassment in Solomon's prayer. He just simply calls it like it is. And my friends, we so need to do that in our world today. No hesitation, no embarrassment. He knows even as king, he doesn't have the power to cause his people to live morally and ethically and obediently and obey the laws and the statutes and the commands of God. And I believe he meant every word of his prayer. He owned the current reality of their own sin and the likelihood that it was going to happen again. And he just called it like he saw it. My friends, the truth will set us free. And Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. And I believe that if we're going to move forward individually, corporately, as a church or as a country, we need to pray the same kind of prayer, a very open and transparent kind of prayer. Lord, if we messed it up, we deserve what we get, but we pray for your mercy and your forgiveness. And as we hear and understand our place and our responsibilities, Lord, would you please guide us and teach us and give us wisdom and discernment. I believe Solomon meant every word of his prayer. He owned the reality of their sin. And I want to share this with you, friends. I don't believe there's anyone ever who desires to forgive you and I more than God. I also don't believe that there's anyone more prepared to give us a fresh start than God is. Solomon as king knows that he's going to need so much more than what he's bringing to the table at the present time in order to be the kind of leader that God would want him to be. He's going to need wisdom and discernment and transparency to lead his people in the right way. And I think it's admirable, at least it's admirable that he would go before his people in a public place and he would get on his knees, would raise his hands in the air as a symbol of worship, and then he would simply recite what he knew was true about the God that he served. My friends, that's worship. Do you realize that confession in many ways is an act of worship? Asking for forgiveness in many ways is an act of worship. You know, he repeats his request that God would keep his eyes open and his ears attentive to his prayer because it really matters to him. And that God would not turn away from him or those people, that God would indeed practice the mercy that God is known for. And all of this happened, my friends, before you ever get to chapter 7. I've always understood to a degree chapter 7, verse 14 that we quote, you know, if my people, and I'll get to that in just a minute. But I'm so glad that God has laid that level of conviction on me that I should go back and read some stuff before that and to put that in context so that I might understand it. So Solomon finishes his prayer, and I want you to look at chapter 7. I want to read verses 1 through 3, and you're going to love this. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement, and they worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, and his mercy endureth forever." Can you imagine? You know what they did? Did God hear and answer their prayer? He heard, and he absolutely answered their prayer. And brothers and sisters, they had church. Okay? They had church. This was a special moment. For 8 days, they did the dedication of the temple, and 7 more days following that, they had the Feast of Tabernacles, which commemorated how God had brought them out of the land of Egypt. You can read that in Leviticus chapter 22. So these folks were absolutely thrilled that God had heard the prayer, that God had answered the prayer. And the scripture tells us that, you know, then the king, verse 4, then the king and all his people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice. This is crazy. 22,000 oxen. You get over on the next page. 120,000 sheep. I mean, they continued to praise God, and they continued to have offering. They continued to do the things that they needed to be doing as God's people. And Solomon's prayer had begun to be answered. And you get down a little bit further, and you see these words in verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night. And he said unto him, "I've heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place for myself, to myself, for a house and house of sacrifice. And if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people," this is what God said to Solomon when he appeared to him. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." God appears to Solomon by night. God's response was absolutely immediate to the prayer of Solomon. He also spoke to him. He said he'd heard his prayers. He'd chosen the temple as his place. And then God does the if then. If then. If it stops raining. If I command the locusts to devour the land. if I send pestilence among my people, here's what you need to know, Solomon. You got to do these things. If you want me to hear and forgive and heal, then what I'm going to need from you and everyone who has that same prayer is I'm going to ask you to be humble, to pray, to seek my face, to turn from your wicked ways. And when you do those things, then you can rest assured that I'm going to heal, I'm going to hear, I'm going to forgive, and I'm going to heal. So right here, my friends, in God's word, straight up from the mouth of God to King Solomon, here are the things that we do in order for him to do the things that he does. I believe this is true individually. I believe this is true corporately as his church. I believe this is true nationally and internationally as his nation and his world. And this is not nearly as complicated as we would want it to be. Their world, my friends, was beginning to crumble around them. And in this one verse, God responds to the prayer, the heartfelt, passionate prayer of one of his own, and lets him know, here's the recipe for success. Here's the recipe for me to function as I want to function as your God, and the recipe for you to function as I want you and have commanded you to function as my people. My friends, although this is written several thousand years ago, I'm going to be bold enough to simply look you in the eyes through this little screen and tell you I believe that that's the same today as it was for Solomon. Great counsel from the Word of God. David Jeremiah says these things, and I completely agree with him. He said there's three very important things that we should learn and do from this passage. First of all, that we need to humbly look inward before looking outward at all. We can easily look around and say that the problem is in our culture and in our leadership and our media and our apathy, but revival, my friend, starts inside. It starts in the church and with the church. It starts in the hearts of God's people. That's exactly what Solomon prayed for. God, let us know what it is you want. Rescue us when we mess it up. Hear us when we honestly, genuinely pray to you. But Lord, let it start with us. Let us become the kind of people that we need to become. Second of all, you kneel down before standing up. Every documented revival in the history of the world started because one or two people got on their knees and prayed that God would change their world. It's personal. The college that I had the privilege to attend, Palm Beach Atlantic College, which is now Palm Beach Atlantic University, I was there before we ever even had our first graduating class. I was there in 1970. The school started in 1968, and it started with two guys praying. If I believe it, I believe it's in a Volkswagen. Dr. Jess Moody and another friend of his began to be convicted and realize that there was a need for a Christian college in the southeastern part of the state of Florida, and they began to pray. And I'll tell you what, it can make a difference if just one or two people realize that we need to kneel down before we stand up. It's been said that if the church is to advance at all, it will be advancing on its knees. And I believe that. We have prayer for a reason. We have prayer because we're supposed to. We have prayer because it's our privilege to do so. We have prayer because we've been commanded to do so. And my friends, we have prayer because it works. It's God's way. Thirdly, to seek God before seeking solutions. As the people of God, we should make a declaration of dependence, not independence. A declaration of dependence, that we would depend on God. What would happen in our world today if this generation that we're living in now chose to be God-centered instead of being self-centered? what would happen in our own personal lives, what would happen in our churches, what would happen in our government and other related leadership if we became God-centered rather than self-centered. I believe this counsel is for every Christian to follow before we ever confront our culture. Be humble, look inside, kneel down, seek God, and confess our sins. My friends, that's the gold that God has for us in this relationship that He desires for us. You can have that relationship this morning, my friends. I would be bold enough to ask you straight up, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Is God your God? Do you know the one and only true God? Have there ever been a time in your life when you've asked Him to be your Lord and Savior? Have you prayed that prayer? And have you received Him as your Lord and Savior? And have you seen a change in your life because of that? Here in just a moment, Brother Billy's going to start just a little bit of invitation music. I'm going to pray a prayer, asking the Lord Jesus to be my Savior. I've done that, but I'm going to pray that prayer so that if you're interested and you're sincere and you're genuinely honest about that, if you would meaningfully pray that prayer right out loud wherever you are or even under your breath if needed be necessary, if you'll pray this prayer with me and you'll mean it, the good news of today is the God that Solomon praised and worshiped can also be your God as well. Would you pray this prayer with me today? Lord, I realize and I admit that I am a sinner. Your word said so, for all the sin that comes short of the glory of God. And I realize, God, that that comes with a tremendous price. So today I am admitting to you that I am lost in my sin and that I cannot save myself. And God, I believe today in my heart and in my mind that Jesus Christ was exactly who He said He was and is. He is the Son of God, the Savior of the world who gave His life so that my sins might be forgiven if I would receive Him. So Lord, today I believe that You're who You said You are. And Father, I confess my sins to You. I own who I have become. And I say to You, Lord, that I confess those things to You, that I am lost and I need You as my Savior. So I admit my sin. I believe that You're Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And I openly confess with my lips that I need You as my Lord and Savior. Would You receive me now as Your child? And I enthusiastically receive You as my Lord and Savior. Thank You, Jesus, for loving me that much. In Your name I pray. Amen. My friends, if you prayed that prayer, I would love to know about that. If you're a member of Lena Vista Baptist Church, it's been my privilege to be pastor here. I would love to know about that. If you don't have a pastor, maybe you know one, I would encourage you highly to find a pastor somewhere in a church and express to him that you received the Lord Jesus Christ in an invitation on a Sunday morning message that you heard. Tell somebody, my friends, don't keep this to yourself. This is a joyful time. And then make sure that you get in this word so that you know what you're supposed to be doing in this relationship. May God bless you when everything comes back to normal, if that ever happens here, and you would need a church or a pastor. I would love to be your pastor, and we would love to be your church. May God bless you. We will be back tonight at 6 o'clock. We hope you can tune in again. Thank you so very much.